Okay, I have 11 o'clock straight up Central Time, so I'm going to dive in and kind of work our way through this thing. There'll be others joining, I'm guessing, but we'll dive in. We want to welcome you. This is our first webinar for Aloha. Aloha has been around a good long time. I think some of you recognize the name. We've been around, I think, 27 years now, but mostly what we've been about in the last number of years has been events, small one-day events, week-long events. We got some longer cruises and overseas trips, but that was mostly what we were about, and we've really shifted our focus. I started with Aloha in July as executive director, and we're really focusing these days on congregations. So our tagline is encouraging and equipping congregations for older adult ministry. So congregations are the focus. We're going to do that through the judicatories, districts, and synods. And we really think we're one of the few organizations around that's really focused exclusively on older adult ministries. The national synods, ELCA, LCMS, there's no dollars or staff people there. Often the district and synods would like to do things more, but don't have money there either. So we're going to try to build our strength, working on visibility and viability, both of those. We've got a good, strong board of directors and really want to build Aloha to be strong for the long term for the church. First of many webinars, more about that topic in a second. A little bit about the Zoom format. I don't know if you've used Zoom before. This is our first time, but we like it a lot. I've done some meetings with Zoom, but not the webinar format. So you should see us, myself or Debbie, she's going to present in a second here. And then either one of us can share our screen. So you'll see the PowerPoints that she has, et cetera. I'll show a little bit about the webpage. And then there's at the bottom of your screen, if you're on a device, if you touch your screen, then will come up some menu items at the bottom. In that will be a raise hand icon. If you do that, I'll see that somebody's raised their hand, and I can that'll assume that there's a question. There's Q&A. We'd like you to use the Q&A as the way that you send information to us, even if it's feedback. Debbie's going to ask for some feedback. Send that through the Q&A side. And then I will make sure that gets passed on. By the way, all of these are going to be recorded, and you'll have a recording of this file at the end of the day today that you can see all the stuff that people have posted. Chat is going to be from us to you. So whenever Debbie puts up a website, I'll put that website in the chat box so you don't have to worry about it. You can click right away and go, or you can wait. And again, you'll have the recording of that chat at the end of the day. So all that information that we'll send to you will be available for you as we go. Two formats we're going to use over the months ahead of us. Webinars, this is our first one. The next one's going to be Karen Sue Murdy talking on health and wellness in May. I will post the link as soon as I'm done here. Debbie's talking. I'll post some things into the chat box about getting signed up for that one. And then the webinars are mostly presentations on a topic where we present to you. Then we have a second type of interaction, which is way more interactive. We're calling them consultations. They're Zoom meeting rooms. And that's where anybody that's signed up, you see everybody else as well. So it's not just two speakers and the rest are sort of off to the side. Everybody that signs in has a small window of video. And it's much more interactive. We're going to use it as a way of, I got one scheduled this Saturday. In fact, I call them consultations on older adult ministry. Typically, there'll be small groups. It's best if they're not larger than 10, so you can have some actual time to interact. And I'm going to focus on finding out what's going on in your congregations, hearing about that, and you share with each other, and then sharing how we want to encourage congregations to grow and build beyond sort of the typical things that congregations do. So those are what's going to happen in the two formats. I'll have those posted in the link. Now, some key points I want to make. I'm going to share my screen for just a second here, so hang on just a sec. And you should be looking at my webpage, the Aloha webpage. And we set this up so that the left side is all menu, and you can expand the different ones. So you can expand about, you can expand congregational help. We are talking about discipleship today, and right in the middle of the first page, the home page, we want to encourage you to go here. Blueprint for Older Adult Ministry and Congregations. So if you go and click on that link, you're going to find that you have a YouTube video you can go to. My thing is grinding a little bit. It's trying to do the Zoom and this at the same time. So it'll be a little slower. then there's the video, and then there's this picture. We start with celebrating discipleship. That's why I chose Debbie today. It's the starting point. We have to affirm for ourselves as old adults, and the church, the congregations have to affirm that we're disciples all the way to the end. I know most congregations, I've been in a lot of congregations. Some of you recognize me from Fitz family and from Weeper's days, like literally thousands of congregations. Almost all congregations I've been in have had some kind of fellowship group for older adult ministries. You got a creative name, OWLS or whatever. But it often doesn't get much beyond that. And that's not affirming the gifts that older adults bring to the table, nor the needs that the community have as well. So we start here, but we build on from there. We always have to think about the level of importance. One, we're going to talk about in our webinars about two things. One is the scriptural mandate that comes from how God handles and what God has to say about older people, but also the demographics. 10,000 older adults a day and retiring, and so there's some huge reasons to pay attention to this this demographic. And then celebrate, equip, serve. That's our logo, and that's three words that help us affirm. We celebrate who we are and what we bring to the table. We equip. We retool ourselves, and the church has to retool. And then bottom line is we're hands and feet for Christ in the world. And then key ministry areas, all these bottom ones down here. We will talk about each of those. Of course, the next one I mentioned is health and wellness. We'll cycle our way through in these webinars of a wide variety of these. They'll be in kind of random order, depending who's able to speak that particular month or whatever. But those are the kind of things we're going to do. I also want to mention we have a Facebook presence. Let me see if I can pull that up here. It may be a little slow coming, but we'd like to make the Facebook presence for us a more lively interaction where we post a lot. I track a lot of Twitter feeds that are about older adults, and so I post those as often as I can. I'm actually looking for somebody to help me make this more interactive and more changeable. Apologies, my webpage is a little slow because of the slow internet speed I have, which is actually one of the reasons we like Zoom. It handles slow internet speed. So Facebook presence, I'm not sure we're going to get to that or not. And then I think I'm just going to stop my sharing because we're going to get Debbie going here in a second. So stop my sharing. I want to just make a quick introduction. Don't forget about Q&A. Send me your questions and your feedback in the Q&A side. I'll send you stuff through the chat side. And Debbie will remind you about that as well. So Debbie, I'll post her bio. Debbie's a good friend. We connected back, I don't know, Fitz family days or something like that. She's anxious to use her gifts. We're glad that she's able to be with us today. It's a critical topic and excellent resources. So Debbie, I'm going to be quiet and let you take over.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. It's an honor and pleasure to be able to be with you today. And I'm just always, as I've shared with you, amazed at how the big picture of where God brings us together and calls us in all different ways. And you and I have touched base in more than just the Fitz family, but other ministries as well. So it's just amazing to me how that happens. So I'm going to start by sharing my screen. I have a PowerPoint presentation that will help guide us along in some conversation today. Just a minute, please. I'm sorry, I have it on the wrong one to begin with. So I hope that you can all see the screen that I've shared with you. And the title of today's workshop and the webinar that we have, it's not a workshop, the webinar is Lifelong Discipleship. And of course, Mark will be coming in and when you post questions and things, he'll be helping with those as I will not be looking at the chat box or the question and answer myself. And he'll also be posting some polls for you to have during my talk today. So I just thought I'd give you a little bit about my own faith journey, and I would invite you to reflect on your own faith journey. This is the church building that my great-grandfather built and where I was raised. I was raised pretty much in a family setting, an intergenerational setting. And this is located in Northeast Pennsylvania in the Poconos area, if any of you are familiar with that. It's in a little town called Scott Run, Pennsylvania. And I was raised here, as I said. I was a volunteer mom in church for years with our family. We have three sons. I've coached and consulted across the United States and amazingly, in Australia and Canada as well, in all different venues with my passion for lifelong faith formation. I'm currently serving in the role of past president of the Christian Education Network of the ELCA and also as co-director of Milestones Ministry. You'll see the picture up here in the right-hand corner. This is something I thought I would start out with this story today. This is my father. He passed away at the age of 90, but you can see this is his 89th birthday that we're celebrating here. And one of the things I always try to remember is as we're aging, how our different roles and how what we do really changes. Well, as active as I was in ministry, when I realized that my father could no longer live by himself, he came to live with us. And he lived with us for 2 years. I was his primary caregiver 24/7. And most people in the church world anyway, I think thought that I dropped out of the scene, and I felt like I was invisible, to tell you the truth. But I did feel that I was doing, that was where God was calling me at the time, was to care for my dad. It wasn't easy. I learned an awful lot about it. And about a year and a half into it, the Reverend Dr. David Anderson, who is the other co-director at Milestones Ministry, gave me a call and said, "You're familiar with Milestones Ministry. Would you be interested in helping us update the existing child and youth family manual?" And I said, "I would love to. Thank you. I've just been thirsting to have something to do." Well, as we were working on that, we realized that what we really need are adult milestones. And the very first one I wrote was aging parents. After the 2 years that my dad lived with us, we had to move him because of his dementia to a memory loss facility. And I am so grateful for the lessons I've learned and the opportunity to do that. So with that passion, I will go on with what I'm presenting. And once again, I'd like you to reflect on where you are in your faith journey. A Psalm 71 I'd like to reference before we get started, just to put us into focus. "Even when I'm old and gray," and you notice I'm gray as well, "do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come." I believe that's what we are doing on this particular webinar today, and those of you present participants and those who will see it in the future. We would like to be able to pass what we know, our faith, on to the next generation. I bring this screen up. Mark has referenced it. I love the Incur Aging and Equipping Congregations for Older Adult Ministry that Aloha has come up with. As we finish, what I'll be doing is I will be referencing back to this again and telling you where it is through the lens of Aloha that Milestones fits in. So we'll come back to this same screen in a few seconds to answer the third question. But at this time, Mark is going to post two different polls. One is a question: are you familiar with Milestones Ministry or Stepping Stones, or you may call another time where you recognize God's presence in your life, or do you use them in your congregation? So these are the two polls. If you could please answer those, and Mark will be able to give us a response. So please click in your answers and then hit submit. And we'll wait a minute for that. And while we're waiting for that, I want to remind you to please, if you have any questions, as Mark mentioned earlier, it may be the chat box or the Q&A box that works for you. Please post those. And as we go through, Mark will occasionally bring up a question, since I'm not looking at the chat box, if you have them. And I will do my best to answer it as we're during the webinar. So have we gotten responses, Mark? There we go. So 44% of you say yes, 56% say no. And if you currently use Milestones or Stepping Stones, 22% yes, 67% no, and 11% no, but have in the past, which could mean perhaps you're in a different congregation. I've had many conversations with people who have said they've used it in another congregation and they'd like to use it again. So I'd like to remind you, if you have experienced them, the people that answer, the percentage that answers yes, you have, if you could please put what ones you were in the chat box or the question and answer. Okay, now there we go. Oh, and that's what I was reminding you again. I'm sorry. So I'll go past this slide rather quickly. So I'm going to do a little bit of presentation and then we'll come back to that question if you've experienced any in your own setting. What is your definition of a milestone? I live about 6 miles south of Cumberland, Maryland, in the state of West Virginia, and the National Road runs right through Cumberland, Maryland. It's the National Highway, and it has markers of milestones, and so these pictures are taken of actual milestones that you'll find along the existing old Route 40 National Highway that goes across the United States. A milestone is one of a series of numbered markers that are placed along a road or a boundary at intervals of 1 mile, or occasionally parts of a mile, as is the case here. Mileage is the distance along the road from a fixed commencement point. My next question is, what is your definition of a faith-connected milestone? Well, from my perspective, a milestone is a meaningful, memorable moment in the lives of individuals and communities. Milestones in our lives can be life-changing. Some are happy, some are sad, and some can be fearful times in our lives. And what does it mean to form faith through milestones and recognizing those milestone moments? It's connecting the meaningful, memorable moments in our lives to God's presence in those moments. Adding scripture, prayer, and a blessing makes this a faith journey, a faith formation moment, and becomes part of our faith journey along that road as those markers. For instance, when we celebrate a significant birthday or when a child loses a tooth, where is God in that moment? I remember sitting with our grandsons and asking them what's a relevant moment for them and what would be life-changing. And at that moment in time, one of them said cell phone. And so I said, go get your Bible. And our grandson said, are you kidding, Grandma? I said, no, you know me. Get your Bible. Let's talk about where God is in that moment. In a book called Families at the Center of Faith Formation, John Roberto of Lifelong Faith Formation and also Vibrant Faith says that a milestone is an action or event marking a significant change or stage in development. And these life and faith markers can provide important times for engaging families when they are most open to change and growth. And I would say that in the context and setting of what we're talking about, not just families, because many older people are living by themselves or in retirement facilities or being cared for, that it's an important time for engaging all those ages, and especially the ages, the primary ages that we see in our congregations now, when they're most open to change and being able to grow them. So the question I have too, and it's not exactly a question, but these are milestones celebrating the congregation. It's more of a reflection. If you are familiar with milestones, and perhaps you don't call these milestones, but in all of our congregations, we recognize baptism, communion, typically through faith formation and Sunday school and the Christian education networks, we recognize First Bible, entering Sunday school, confirmation. We also recognize graduation and marriage. And these are milestones that typically happen, if not 100% of the time, at least 99%, within the church walls. So what I'm going to suggest today, it's not just within the church walls that we should be recognizing God's presence in our lives. It's in homes and everyday living. For example, caring for an aging parent, getting a new home, a family reunion. We also have one that's moving into assisted living, loss of a pet, becoming a grandparent, birthdays, retirement. These are all relevant, life-changing times that deserve a moment and an opportunity for us to recognize God's presence in that moment. So I'd like to get back to you for a moment and see, Mark, have we had anyone reply that which ones they've experienced?
It's a shy bunch. We have okay. No responses.
Okay. Well, we know they have.
Yeah.
My guess is that some of the ones I've already mentioned. So where do we start when it comes to milestones? Well, with Milestones Ministry, I will give you an outline of 5 steps that we take to identify them. And I would encourage you, it isn't about just the things that we write here at Milestones Ministry, but it's things that you can do on your very own, in your own setting. And hopefully and prayerfully, you'll be able to tap into what it is I'm talking about and be able to grasp that and embrace it as something you'll be able to do in your own setting. So where do we start? Well, we name it. So you identify a moment as a significant to one's life and faith directly related to the name of the Milestone Ministry event. For instance, I mentioned cell phone. So we have that one and we call it the cell phone milestone moment. You equip it. You provide support, modeling, and resources to help people experience a milestone in life as an opportunity to again embrace the grace of God in Christ. So equipping it for us means that we find a scripture that's related to it, which is exactly what I asked our grandson to do. I said, look in that concordance and see what you find that has to do with conversation and relationships and talking, and we can be able to use that one. And I would suggest, too, with this cell phone one, there's many times that we have people using not smartphones, but what we call stupid phones sometimes. And that could be a moment as well. That cell phone isn't just for teens and young people getting phones. It's for those of us who haven't learned how to use a smartphone to embrace that opportunity as well. The next step of the opportunity. So equipping it is part of providing that opportunity. If we don't provide an opportunity for this to happen, to bring God's presence into that moment, I'm not sure when it would happen. It typically does not. Then we bless it. We offer a prayer and a worship service. We have a cross-generational event, which is intergenerational. And or you can do it in a small group home event. For instance, if it's a caring parent, like in the case of my dad, someone may come to my home. We maybe have teams of people who come from the congregation to help me go through that. And then it's recognized in the congregation. Gifting it. We like to say that providing a visual reminder of the event helps people recall at a particular milestone, and I'll be giving examples of that in the next few slides. Reinforce it. Both David Anderson and I have learned through our work that if there isn't follow-up, if there aren't stories told, and if we don't share about it, then it really doesn't live on in our faith lives, and it has a better chance of becoming part of our faith journey when we share those experiences. So offering a follow-up event to help deepen the faith formation has an impact, and it encourages and supports faith practices used. And then when helpful, they can explore new ones or continue to use those. So the five steps are name it, equip it, bless it, gift it, and reinforce it. An important ingredient to establish when you are doing a milestone and gathering are faith practices. And most of us know the importance of having some type of a faith practice. And so the two that I'm most familiar with are ones that we'll call the four key faith practices, which were developed by Dr. David Anderson. And they are caring conversations, devotion, service, ritual, and traditions. And these four faith practices are embedded in everything we do at Milestones Ministry to provide consistency. My background in foreign language tells me that having consistency is the best way we learn something. But that's a story for another time. Another one you may be familiar with is the Faith Five. You share highs and lows. You read scripture. You talk about that scripture and relate it to your life, and then you pray with one another and for one another's highs and lows, and you bless one another. So these are types of faith practices. You may have other types of faith practices you do. If you do have those, I would recommend that you and suggest that you use that type of faith practice as the outline all the time, because that's consistency helps equip others. In Raleigh Martin's book, recent book, Elders Rising, he says that for seniors, faith is a prime factor in their identity, and their faith practices are sources of meaning and hope. So another reason why consistency of those faith practices is so important. I thought before I show you a few more examples of how milestones are being used in different settings, that I would show you a few pages from the one that I mentioned in the beginning, the aging parent milestone. It's affirming primary caregivers, and it also includes the person being cared for. This can also be used for one who's caring for spouses, and in the future I may be able to, I'm thinking of writing one that has to do with spouses, but it really has to do with all who are caregivers in all settings, for all different ways. It lists the desired outcomes, but here you'll see in each one of what we call milestone modules, it talks about the naming. Here it talks about naming it as an important, significant, life-changing time for both the parent and the child in this setting. And equipping it is we encourage caregivers to gather with others to talk about how their lives are changing, using scripture, having caring conversations. Also, a blessing is very powerful. We suggest a blessing done during worship. If that's not possible, to certainly go to the home, and as part of this process and these five steps is to bless the adult child giver, as caregiver, and also the parent or whoever is being cared for. Gifting, we suggest things like a prayer shawl or a holding cross or just a special message or a picture as a visual reminder of this. And as a follow-up, it's always good to reconnect and talk about and share stories about providing support. In each module that we have, there are three different settings. And I'm mentioning these settings because these are the three settings that we typically have the opportunity to share in. A cross-generational setting. You can see here, once again, the outline of the four key faith practices. And once again, it's the consistency that I have found really makes a difference. When we use that same outline in everything we do, it's easy for people to do ones on their own and also understand, oh, this is how we do it. But maybe in the context and setting of another thing, maybe it's cell phone one time, maybe it's retirement another time. In this particular setting, it's aging. So we ask questions like, one thing I remember doing with my grandmother or grandfather is someplace I've always wanted to go. We read the scripture, teach your children right from wrong, and when they're grown, they will still do right. And we ask conversations about that. We always have a service element. In this particular setting, what organization can you help locally in the community that responds to the needs of the elderly? Also a good conversation in the congregation. We close with a prayer and a blessing always. And on the right-hand side, you'll see there's always a guide for in worship. Perhaps the caregivers came together and you and the people being cared for, depending on the setting, but you would bring them in front of the congregation to recognize. Remember, I mentioned that I felt invisible for 2 years when I was caring for my father. Had I had the opportunity to do this, I would have felt very loved and understood, and I would have felt very blessed to be present in front of the congregation, recognizing that this is something I was doing in my life. The two other settings, and I'll go through these rather quickly, are one for the home or small group. If you can't come to the congregation, I would suggest you could send people out where you know people are being cared for and go through this also, as well, this outline, and also the follow-up. So those are three different ways you could do it. I'm going to quickly go through some examples of forming faith through milestones because I want you to have time to be able to process something as well. Four different settings that I like to say we form faith through milestones are the congregation, the community, the home, and the digital world. And for in the context of our meeting today, I want to stay within our hour time frame. I'm going to go through these rather quickly. I'd be happy to answer your questions. I have my email at the end if you should have some in the future about these as well. Congregational examples, high school graduation, any of them actually, you could use retirement, anything that's being happening that you know the average, there's people in your congregation that have this happening in their lives. We also have the mission trip one here as an example. There's a congregation near me, First Presbyterian in Cumberland, Maryland, who has this bulletin board displayed, and it's now bigger. Each time I go and visit them, it's even bigger. But they've actually designed their faith journeys together, and they've done them in the congregational setting and in the home. And in the congregation, they actually did caring for aging parents. They've done an Easter egg blessing one for all the ages. They've done the retirement one. And so I've learned a lot from them. First Lutheran in Minot, North Dakota. Sometimes we talk about initiating new programs, and in that particular case, they had a flood, and they decided, since everything was flooded in the basement of the Christian education, that they started to simply begin an intergenerational ministry that actually was just milestones. So they started to recognize, and it was easy for them to establish a different way to do a ministry. The Easter egg blessing, I won't go through that one, but I did share a faith story, and it's on our website, about also driver's license that First Presbyterian near us had done. A community example, family reunion. My own family in the Poconos celebrated their 50th family reunion, and I thought, what a wonderful opportunity to recognize God's presence in this moment. I knew that in this family, that church that I showed you in the beginning was built by my great-grandfather Pajaka. And so when we sang Jesus Loves Me, you could just, there were 120 people there. It was amazing how everyone realized, whether they were churchgoers or not, that we were a faith-based family, that we had been passed this faith from generations before us. So that's a really good community one. Another example of community one that we've celebrated is Reformation anniversary here in the setting of having five congregations that are Lutheran congregations within a mile of one another. This is one. This is actual setting of where my dad was in a memory loss facility and caring aging parents and spouses. We did this as a community setting, and I can't tell you how much the families who were there appreciated having this done. The generation that is now in nursing homes and in retirement places are very strong faith-based generation. They're the ones that have passed this faith to our generation and beyond, and we're the ones that are now responsible for passing it on. So I ask that we remember that these are vibrant places where recognizing God's presence needs to happen. Also, All Saints Day. We have a couple of congregations who use All Saints Day as a good time, as a community example of sharing faith. A home example, retirement. We did one for my own husband. We invited all our neighbors and friends. And to actually host a dinner in your home and then go through those faith practices and read scripture and do a prayer and a blessing for the one who's retired is amazing. It tells your neighbors and your friends and your family who may not know you that well about your faith and helps them be able to open up and speak about their faith as well. The broken bone one. As we age, we do break bones. Another one, perhaps we don't think about that, but it changes our lives. And for elderly people, it can be a life-changing moment. I'm going to share stories. These two stories are the Christmas tree blessing, for example. I brought that one up because one of the ways you could actually share in your congregation is one of the things that Kristen Baltram in Colorado does is she bags up this Christmas tree blessing milestone moment that has the outline of the four key faith practices in a bag and puts a Christmas ornament in it. They bless the Christmas tree in the congregation, which is something we did last year, and then they send these home so that people can bless the tree at home as well. And think about being able to take that off to nursing homes and other places and bless them there. Retirement. This is a sample of a stone. We have a wonderful potter who works with us at Milestones Ministry, Dawn Deans Christensen, out in Iowa, and she creates these wonderful stones that we use. We also consider wonderful visual reminders. Sue Van Oss, an Episcopal, St. Paul's in Episcopal Church in Duluth, Minnesota, does the same type of thing that Kristen does, but she lines boxes up. Now, she does it for youth and family, but I'm asking us to envision doing this for the ages that we have in our congregations now. I don't know about you, but we worship 50 or less, and our average age is probably 65. And so to be able to even dream and envision having something in baskets so that they can take home and then come back and tell the stories. And we can bless them in the presence of the congregation so that we're aware of the people going through this particular milestone moment. Digital example may not be something that we think about often, but our children and grandchildren are definitely doing this. So how do I share highs and lows? And how do I share scripture with our grandchildren because they live in Missouri? I Skype them. I text them. We do FaceTime. Let's not let out the whole part of being able, what we're doing today on Zoom, we could actually share some type of milestone if a person isn't able to be there, if it's someone from your congregation who's moved. So let's not let out the digital part. You're never too old to set a new goal or dream a new dream, said by C.S. Lewis. Here's another one. I think this is one of the ones I'll have coming up here soon. Learning to how to use a computer or Zoom, right, Mark?
Right, exactly.
So, speaking of dreaming, I'd like us to take a moment to think of a milestone specifically related to someone over 60 in your congregation or your family. I'm going to ask you to use the chat or the Q&A box to submit some. Start dreaming. Start thinking. Now, typically when I do a workshop, we take time to share all of these. It is amazing how many people have come up with. One of the ones that comes to my mind is when I was in Connecticut, was a person was all excited about having end of chemo. And the gift that they will be given is a bell. What I didn't know is that you actually ring a bell when you're finished with all your chemo. And so it was a wonderful setting where we shared what scripture would we have? How would we have caring conversations? Where is God in that moment? And so there's all types you can have. Think of someone, maybe in your own family, in your congregation, what's happening in their lives right now.
Debbie, I'm gonna jump in here. We had one question that said, the last time they were a little unclear what you're asking them. If I'm understanding you correctly, you'd like them to think right now.
Yes.
Actually give some feedback about, you've listed a bunch.
Yes.
Let them. We're gonna just give some time for them to, okay, here's what I was thinking of. Here's somebody I know. Use either this chat box or the Q&A. Chat box everybody sees. I think let's shift what I said. Today, let's put everything in the chat box because that way everybody can see it.
Okay.
Right now, the Q&A only comes to me. If you have a question, put it in the Q&A, and we'll get to those. But for right now, Debbie, you're asking them, actually think about other suggestions you'd have for milestones. Particularly older adults is our topic today.
Yes.
I think we're open to hearing whatever.
We're open to hearing whatever. Yes.
Yeah.
And yes, even like if you have a grandchild or if you have a mother or a father or please don't limit it to over 60. I was thinking that as I was doing this, but just to get those juices rolling. For example, is someone losing a driver's license? That's a tough moment. Where is God in that moment? I should have brought up, I have a whole list of ones that I've gotten from people across the country. My main point is that this isn't something that you just have to come to somebody like Milestones Ministry or another organization to find these. Of course, it's easy, and we hope that we make things easier for you, but there are ones that happen in your own setting that can be relevant at that moment in time. And by simply naming them, equipping them, blessing them, gifting them, and reinforcing them, and putting like a faith practice in there, in the center of it, you'll be amazed at how it can stimulate and encourage those trusting relationships that are so important.
Now, let me break in again, Debbie.
Yep.
Just to give them some time to think, I'm going to say a couple of things. We've got a couple of people posting. If you don't see it, it's at the very bottom of your screen. If you move your mouse or touch your screen, if you got a phone or whatever, then up comes on the bottom some menu items. One of those is chat. If you touch chat or mouse click the chat, then the chat box comes up and you can see whatever anybody's put in there. So we got a couple ones that birth the first grandchild.
Oh, yes.
Cataract surgery, LASIKs, et cetera. People go through that a lot. So while you're thinking of those and posting those, let me say a couple of things in response to what you've said so far, Debbie.
Okay.
One of the reasons I was so glad to have Debbie do this first one, this is going to be true for all the people we have that are sharing resources. There's going to be way more than you can use right away.
Yes.
Don't let that stop you. It can be kind of overwhelming almost.
Yes.
My perspective is start somewhere, take a step, and then take another step, A to B, B to C. Nobody can go A to Z. That's not how it works.
Yes.
When I was in the parish, if I thought it was important to do, you take the first step you can take and then move on from there. And I really want to affirm there's lots of ways you've given for folks to do things in their own home, in the nursing home that the people are living in. But I want to again affirm, do this in the worship setting whenever you can.
Yes.
This is true in my experience. And when I look back in my DC ministry, I did not do this as well as I might have. Going back now, I do things drastically differently. Because what happens on Sunday morning says some things about what's important. And if the only things we do are the few that are sort of sacramentally connected, those are certainly important things, but then we sort of feel, well, there's no other times in your life that are critical milestones, that are critical discipleship moments. And by putting them in the worship service, people actually have to stand up,
yes,
come up front, repeat some phrases that have some short meaning. I think that elevates the level of importance in the congregation and in their own life in a way that doesn't happen when it doesn't happen, for lack of a better way to say that. So, yeah. So we got a couple others. Agricultural setting, harvest, milestones for annual settings that way.
Yes.
Wedding anniversaries, cancer-free, all kinds of good things. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. So you'll be posting that list, right?
Yes, this will get posted. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. And so it makes it really easy too, because take some simple steps, like when I reference those faith practices. So how do you, once you name it, what do you do with it? Just come up with some type of caring conversation around that, and then find a scripture that relates to it. And then ask a question that relates to that scripture. Like, what jumps out about you in reference to this? It can be really easy. Simple is good. And then pray about it. And then bless one another. And as Mark says, if you have been in a setting where you've been able to witness some of recognizing these milestones in the worship setting, it's amazing how it helps people recognize how people are at different stages in their faith journey. And even, for example, like a graduation, when you have not just parents come up with children, but have grandparents come up as well as the equipping and pass a candle from one to the other and have this blessing. It has a tremendous effect on those relationships. And the follow-up piece is that you'll have a fellowship time where people can be talking about this. So go ahead and keep on putting those ideas, because Mark will post that chat box and you can start dreaming. So thank you for your answers. There's a person by the name of Richard Gensler. I believe he's a Methodist pastor, and he wrote a book called Aging in Ministry in the 21st Century. And he writes, while the popular perception is that the aged are needy and infirm, he affirms the majority of older adults have plenty to give. The church needs to tap into their wisdom, energy, experience, and talents. And he stresses that older adult ministries need to be by and with elders as well as for them, since participants will represent all stages of retirement and activity levels. And he also recommends that churches pay special attention to the needs of the boomer generation. That's me. That's probably you too, Mark. And right. Several on our time today, since they're now beginning. That's most in the congregations that I happen to coach and consult and be with. Since they are now becoming the older adults who will determine the church's path for years to come. I just wanted to bring that up, this little bit of reference, because I've made this available. Mark is going to give you the link that you can actually download this if you want to. Some of you may have heard of Taking Faith Home. At Milestones Ministry, we do Taking Faith Home. There's four of us at Milestones Ministry, the Reverend Dr. David Anderson and myself and our spouses. And we together write the Taking Faith Home that are lectionary based, by the way. But you'll notice that, as I mentioned, for the Milestones, the basic four key faith practices are at the core. The same goes for Taking Faith Home. Those four practices are at the core. So in the setting of what we do, every time we do a milestone, they're already familiar with the bulletin insert that they get every week as to what caring conversations, devotion, service, and ritual and traditions are. So this, when you download it, it'll give you a sense for when you're working with milestones, if you take the ones, so one of those was, ending chemo that I mentioned. Another one said time of harvest. So what type of caring conversation would you create about that? You know, what time do you plant this year? Excuse me, did we have too much of a rainy season? Provide time to talk about it. Then find a scripture, a lesson based on it. Then think about service. You know, how do we help our local farmers? How do you support them? What's the bigger picture of supporting the environment today? That type of thing. And with ritual and tradition, always add a prayer and a blessing. So I invite you to download those. This is actually in our congregation what we do every Sunday. And I actually use it for what I call an intergenerational setting. When we're together, all the ages are sharing this together following worship. So how will you form faith through milestones? We already gave the answers, so I forgot I was going to talk a little bit. I wanted to give them some time, and we did. Do you have any other thoughts before I go on, Mark, about this?
No, well, we shared a number of them. What we shared before were the ones that were listed. Yeah.
Okay. That sounds fine. This is a scripture. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. And I keep thinking to myself, you know, Mark, you know, you and I know that some of the ministry we've done, lifelong faith formation ministry, if I could go back in the setting I was when I was younger and have some of the wisdom that I think I've gleaned now, I'm not sure. I think there could be some better things happening. So I don't want to waste any more time at the age I am now. I want to carry this passion on and encourage so many people. There's an energy behind that wisdom, and we need to be sharing it with others and stop saying, you know, everyone in our congregation, because we're newer to the congregation here, you will hear how it used to be. And I want to say, why were the former times better than these? Let's use our wisdom and go forward and say, these are great times. Speaking of that wisdom, these are three leadership tips that I like to share with people. Be intentional, set expectations, and have a plan for accountability. No matter what it is you do, Mark referenced before, it's one step at a time. If we aren't intentional about it, we'll never know will never provide an opportunity. A short story I have to tell that normally is a longer story, but we have a little bit of time, so I'm going to tell it. I thought I had a brilliant idea one time to send home candles and a placemat that had some faith practices around it for families to take in the home and share with all the generations and use in their households. Well, I got a call from a magazine one time, it was the Luther magazine at the time, and they said, "We heard you're doing this great thing to get faith to happen in the home. We'd like to write an article on it." And I was like, "Okay, great." We gave out at least 70 of those candles and placemats. And so I said, "Great." And they said, "We'd like to interview somebody that's using them." And I was like, "Oh, that'd be wonderful. So I'll get in touch with them and get back to you." Well, what happened was I called a couple people. The first person was kind of like, "What were we supposed to do with that?" And I was like, "Okay." I hang up. I get to the next person. "Joe, do you remember where we put that candle in placemat?" And yet another person said, "It's on our table. Are we supposed to do something with it?" Now, simply by placing it in someone's hands, didn't make it happen. So I took the intentional part and did the intentional part. I actually called the magazine back too and told them about that. I did find two families who actually used it. And they said, "Great." And they came and did the interview. And the only thing I could think was, how bad are we at doing this that we want to use this as an example? The article was published, and what really happened was the families that shared those stories were the ones that I realized were the ones that can empower others. And so I then realized that it really wasn't about me and the ministry Bob is doing. It was how I was empowering them to do it. So please, by all means, be intentional. Find whatever one step you want to take. Be intentional about it. If you're never intentional, it won't happen. Set an expectation. We can't know that people are going to do it, but we can set an expectation. And then if you don't ever have a plan for accountability, if you don't follow up, how will you know it worked? That was my biggest mistake. I never asked. So when you start taking that one step, set an expectation that perhaps, well, we'll do this in worship once a month, or we'll do this in our homes every day. Well, then ask about it, whether or not it's happening, because that's how you learn. And it is others who empower, being empowered, who help us recognize God's presence in our lives. So those are my three tips. There's five principles that we have at Milestones Ministry. It's faith is formed by the power of the Holy Spirit through personal trust relationships, often in our own home. And I'm going to go through these pretty quickly now. So I'm going to go through them one at a time. That's the first one. When conversations, prayers, and blessings bring a family and friends together, faith is formed by the Holy Spirit. So providing opportunities, that intentional piece for this to happen is important. It needs to be intentional. The second principle, the church is a living partnership between the ministry of the congregation and the ministry of the home. We're fortunate if adults spend 2 to 3 hours in our congregation, but this doesn't compare to the amount of time they spend in their home. There needs to be a vital connection. The third one, where Christ is present in faith, the home is church too. Placing tools in the hands of adults and helping them learn to speak the faith at home opens the opportunity for the wisdom of the elder to connect with the younger generations. If you have a blessing in worship for some type of milestone that is recognized or celebrated, that provides opportunities to talk about it at home as well. The fourth one, faith is caught more than it's taught. We seldom consider how faith is really caught. The word caught means to get and hold on to something. Well, oftentimes, I often think of an outfielder in a baseball field. If he, you know, in order to catch the ball, he has to hold on to it, doesn't he? Well, in our faith, if we assume everyone speaks that language, I think we're wrong. We make that assumption. But the more we role model and provide opportunities and set expectations to practice our faith, the better chance we have to get it and to hold on to it and pass it on to the next generation. The fifth one is, if we want Christian children, youth, and adult, we need Christian adults who practice the faith with them. That's us. If we want adults who practice their faith, we need to start paying attention and begin building relationships and empowering all ages. It's not about adding one more program. It's about building those relationships, those trusting relationships. Now, I'm going to come back to the key ministry areas for Aloha. And I outlined which ones I thought for each one of those ministry, key ministry areas. There are specific ones, ones that you've already sent in. One of you said something about chemo. What were some of the ones? Can you still see the list, Mark?
Yeah, there was, hang on, I'm gonna back up a little. Chemo, okay, so, the agricultural setting, 50th, 40th and 50th anniversaries, cataract surgery, grandchild.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, they would all fit into. So envision where what it is you've just sent in, that what your suggestion and your dream and idea was, would fit into these key ministry areas. And actually, the end of life one is a milestone moment that we're just in the process of doing now, that we find there's a great need for that one. Through the lens of Aloha, I thought I would also describe what is Mark had said as part of this logo. I feel that celebrate, we're recognizing and celebrating milestone moments in the lives of all ages in both same age and intergenerational settings. The equipping piece is placing tools in the hands and empowering people, tools that are simple and providing opportunities for caring conversations, defining those faith practices and faith talk through scripture reading, prayer, and a blessing. And that service piece, it's actually one of the four key faith practices that we put into all of our milestones. But to name and identify the outcomes of service through building trusting relationships and strengthening spiritual growth with a goal to serve others through actions and words. And we, most of us are at an age when I talk about those who are in the congregation who can do this now. A few resources I wanna mention as we tie up and end up, and then if there's any questions, I'd be happy to address those. Our Milestones Ministry website, I won't take time to go through it today, but I invite you on under the About page, you can see more about the five principles and the four key faith practices, and also the AAA adult that we say is affirming of in support of shepherding ministries. My email is at the bottom, and as Mark said, he's actually going to send you a PDF of this presentation so that you'll have that as well. We have a Facebook group page as well. We invite you to join it. This is a closed group page, and we mention things occasionally. We have some resources that you can download, which I meant to tell you. Under the toolbox, there's quite a few resources that you may be interested in downloading, articles and different types of things. David Anderson has written the book of, he has a series of three books now. This particular one is called Shepherd of Souls. It's the most recent one, just published last year. It is the passion of his life. It talks about faith formation through trusted relationships. And one of the quotes he has in it is, shepherding souls is the personal care of others through caring conversations, faith-filled reflections, and prayerful engagements. We are to shepherd one another. And the word pastor means shepherd. Everyone has a role to play in the support of others in the life of faith. Sometimes we overlook, I've heard one too many times, and you may have heard as well, as been there, done that, I'm done doing that. But to encourage and know that we each have a role to play in the support of others is important. And as Ephesians 4:11-16 and David writes, points out, Christ gave a variety of gifts to build up the church. Building up the body of Christ requires endless shepherding, a commitment to the ongoing well-being of the community of faith and to the individual members of it. So I would invite you with this book. I think you'll find that it can be downloaded as well. There's another book that we have at Milestones Ministry. It's by the Nielsen family. And this book has been in existence for quite some time. It's 75 Blessings for Life's Milestones. And it's all of these different milestones, that some of the ones that we just mentioned now, but they suggest a ritual action such as lighting a candle or passing a blessing cup and a closing blessing. They can be done by families, by intergenerational groups, by someone alone, and they help transform ordinary moments into sacred moments. There is, if any of you are familiar with John Roberto and his work, he has a website that Lifelong Faith Journals that also Mark will post for you in the chat box. And there is a special issue that I would invite you can download this. There's no cost for downloading this. It's called The Future of Adult Faith Formation. And I think it was in 2015. So that's only 4 years ago. But those articles are relevant today. And I would invite you to go ahead and download that, the entire magazine. But in that magazine, there's an article that I've written called A Milestones Focus on Adults, Replacing Programs with Relationships. And I reference some of the things that I talked about today. Another thing is another article that you can download on our website under the toolbox is one by David Anderson that has to do with shepherding souls and the life of faith. And to finish up, a final thought I would like to give here is, and in the context of what we've been talking about, this is a picture of a woman in our congregation. She's 91 years old. Dear Dot, can you imagine yourself holding a puppet? I mean, for me, that's another passion of mine, puppet ministry. Much the same as you with the Fitz family, Mark. I never feel like I'm too old to do this. And it's amazing what you can do with puppet ministry. We've actually gone to nursing homes with our puppets and done them. And so we can actually role model this. But I love this picture of her. One Christmas, they were talking about how they needed more choir members, for the choir. So I gave them two more members, and we were able to have a larger choir that day. But Dot, at 91 years old, has never ceased to amaze me. I've only known her a couple years, but recently she had a stroke, and it was actually during our intergenerational faith formation that we have after worship. And it's amazing the impact that has had on the congregation. And that indeed is a moment to recognize God's presence, to never forget Dot. And now she has caregivers bring her sometimes, and we go and visit her. But I just, as my final thought, I want us to know and realize that, you know, it never ends. And being reminded that as Paul and Timothy travel around so much together, that particularly in 2 Timothy, Paul referenced Timothy's mother and his grandmother as faith role models. And this particular scripture just struck me as appropriate to finish our thoughts today. You then, my child, us children, us, no matter what age, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. That's who we are, my friends in Christ. We are disciples. We are followers. And we are able to teach others, and we should be able to embrace that in any way we can. I'd like to thank you for being with me today, and I bless you in your ministries, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have. And once again, I thank you so very much, Mark, for the opportunity to share today.
Yeah, great. Hey, we do really appreciate your willingness to share with us. Lots of information, good resources. No questions just yet, but I want to let that simmer a little bit more. I want to ask a couple questions, and then we're going to bring some closure. I want to launch a poll that I want some help from the attendees here about summer. Here's the poll. The question is, would you attend a summer webinar from Aloha, particularly June or July? I've got one already scheduled in May. August, people are already ramping up. My question is June or July. So I'd like to get some feedback from people here about whether or not, you know, it's just forget it. We wouldn't do anything no matter what the topic, or, well, it depends, whatever. So give that a shot to answer. And then I got one other question I want to ask, and then we will bring some closure to this thing. We're just well within the hour here. That's good. All right. I think I'm going to give another second or two, and then we'll end it. Let's just end it here. Here's the results. Looks like people are interested. So we have people in the wings, and so I'll be booking through June and July. And the other thing is, they're all recorded anyway, so you know you can get at them anytime you want. So that works out well. Let me share one other one here. This question is 5 ministry areas. So let me launch the poll. Aloha has picked these 5 as ways. Well, let me say this. While you're doing this, go ahead and answer these things. I want you to pick for the purposes of which of these are the most interest for the coming months, which should I tackle first? We're already tackling health and wellness next time, but pick those that you are interested in the most, and I'm just interested in that subject, or the answer to that. The demographic 65 and older is a large group and a very diverse group. So even two congregations right next to each other could have a very different ministry in terms of what it looks like, just because it's a diverse group. But we think these five are going to touch everybody at one point or another through the course of their life. And that's why we chose these. I mentioned at the bottom, I have another suggestion. If you think there's other ones that are worth really honing in on for Aloha, I'd love to hear those. Put that in the Q&A or in the chat box. Send me an email about that. Right now, we're focusing on the five. That's plenty, by the way, for us to tackle. And we're always going to have what we think are top-notch resources in each one. We're not going to, we won't post it if we don't think it's high quality. And so whatever we put up, you can feel confident that somebody's tried it and thought that it was worth doing. So here's the results of the poll. Share the results. Intergenerational is highest, and that's really what you were talking about to some extent already as well. Then that independence to interdependence, boy, everybody's going to hit that at one time or another. And it's a huge challenge. So that's helpful for me as I think about how we tackle the next ones. So stop sharing. And I'll get rid of that screen so I can see. No other questions at this point. Debbie, again, we very much appreciate your willingness to share. And for the folks who signed on, again, a couple of things to remember. I will, by the end of the day, have at least four files for each webinar. Today will only be three because we didn't have any questions. Oh, no, we have a question. Here's a question. Do you think a congregation can have too many milestone celebrations? Debbie, what do you think? Too many milestone celebrations.
That's really a good question because it depends on how you're doing it. If you're helping to equip people and empower them to do their own and share stories about them, that may mean there's lots and they're happening in different places, in homes and in different settings. But if you're doing it, say, as a staff, I would say that you need to choose particular ones that you're going to be doing during the year. Typically, during the year, I know there's one congregation that will do one that I've talked with anyway, that'll do one on a monthly basis. And that's how they started. And I'm not sure that one in First Presbyterian in particular, it depends on something that's happening in the congregation. So that's, because I haven't experienced any congregations or heard of any doing too many, I'm not quite sure how to answer that, but I think once you plant the seeds that this is a moment to recognize God. For instance, those drawers that were filled, if people send them home, that's not too many because it's inviting other people to use them and share them. If you're responsible for them, I would definitely say don't do more than you can handle realistically because you want them to be a quality time that's going to build a trusting relationship.
Yeah, and I would say, thinking back to my parish days, if you have, like, it's like a special Sunday. If you have too many special Sundays, people get tired of those.
Yes. That's
part of the thing. So, if everything's special, nothing's special. But I think it's important to lift certain things up, and that would be where you prioritize. And these things we'll do publicly. Others will try to do privately. That may be one approach as well.
Yeah, your setting may define that.
Right. Exactly. Yep. We had a future topic for the future, discipleship and guiding older adults to still use their gifts for ministry. Well, that's what Aloha is all about. And we hope to keep hammering that as we go through all the things that we do. So that's very helpful. We're hoping to do that with whatever we do at Aloha. All right. Well, so back to my four files. So every webinar is going to have four files on the web page that you originally signed up on. We'll have the video because this is recorded. We'll have the question and answer, we'll have the chat file, and we're going to have the PDF file of the slides, so you can just work through the slides on your own. Those will all be up somewhere by the end of today. Don't forget the consultation. Those consultations are, we've got three scheduled ones coming up already this Saturday. Check the link out on the chat box about where the webinars are, sign up for the webinars. It's on that page. Much more interactive. You'll see everybody that's there, unlike the webinars here where you only see the panelists. And very interactive. I want to hear what's happening in your congregation. You'll hear from others about their own plans as well. And then we'll work through some suggestions from Aloha about how to move forward challenging and beefier ways. A fellowship group is a great way to start, but there's much more that older adults have to offer. And the knee-jerk reaction in most congregations I've been in is, hey, we got to grow the church. We got to get young people in. And demographically, there's as many 60-year-olds around almost any congregation you want to throw a dart at as there are 6-year-olds. So demographically, a church can grow with older adults as well. So it's not an either or, but we've somehow ignored the older adult population. So I'm going to leave it at that. Thanks for participating. Thank you, Debbie, for your time and energy. And check out the webpage afterwards for the files. And blessings to everybody that was here. Take care.